We'll get back into some NBA playoff conversation at 12:20 as well. Do want to, at some point, because I know Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20, as he always does, to talk some college football and some Georgia and all that. But the meetings, the SEC meetings are going on
somebody
down
in feelings.
In Destin. Yeah, and Greg Sankey's fired up, man. Like, which seems like all of the questions he was asked, you would have expected to be asked.
Right.
But he probably, it's also calculated, and he says what he says on purpose. But anyway, we'll get to some of that stuff coming up in the 12 o'clock hour as well. But right now, as we always do on Tuesdays, Mike Conti steps in studio and speaks with us. Mike, how are you?
Good to see you guys. Happy birthday, Bo.
Happy birthday to Bo.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
A little maybe more pep in the step today. Felt good to get the win over the weekend.
It's like I told Jason after the game on Sunday. I forgot what that felt like. what it felt like to do a game like
you
that.
You could hear it in your, and obviously it was a great moment, but you could hear it in your goal call for sure.
Honestly, it's a little embarrassing. I mean, that's the kind of call you have when you win MLS Cup, not when you win a regular season game. But it just
Mike.
I know. It was a relief.
It was a relief.
And Cincinnati's a good team. That's a really good win. For whatever reason, Atlanta United seemed to have Cincinnati's number this year. When they played up there, it was a 2-2 draw in Atlanta. Had a really weird call go against them in the first half where they probably should have had a penalty. It could have been even a win up there. So I guess it just reminded you and showed you what this could still be or what it was supposed to be or what it could potentially be. I don't know. It was nice. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I'm a big advocate of playing on Sunday nights. On holiday weekends, that was fun too. We'll see what happens now tomorrow against Orlando, a team that has been very, very stingy in giving up goals. But Cincinnati was also very stingy in giving up goals, and Atlanta United broke them down four times. And not a single designated player scored for Atlanta United on Sunday, which is also very interesting.
What was the difference, Mike? Obviously, when you scored more goals, all right. But what did you see noticeably that made it look different this time?
Well, I think this started last Saturday against Philadelphia, and that was a loss. It was a 1-0 loss. But I think there have been just a few subtle little positional tweaks that Ronnie Dyla has made, not necessarily changing the shape of the team, but just altering the positioning a little bit, playing everyone just a teeny bit higher. I thought Saba playing in that right wing-back position that sometimes you'll see Brooks Lennon play when they go to a three-man back line. I thought Saba had a phenomenal game. The positioning, for whatever reason, seemed to unlock some things in the midfield. I also think Jay Fortune being in the lineup probably helped a lot. Jay, I think, has been absolutely phenomenal for Atlanta United. Glad to see he got a goal on Sunday. Just a few minor little tweaks with just positioning. Not formation, not really even personnel. A little bit of positional changes seems to be working right now. Again, you got to build on this. I mean, if you go out tomorrow and you lose 3-0 to Orlando, then, you know, we're right back at square one, in my opinion. But if you look at their last three games, comeback draw on the road. Austin's not bad. They're not great, but they're not bad. You get a comeback draw on the road against them in 110-degree weather. That's a pretty good result. Thought you outplayed Philadelphia, certainly an open play, and you played really well against Cincinnati on Sunday. So you've had three pretty decent performances now in a row. You've got to keep this going. And it's tough because it's very, very seldom when you have to play three matches in 7 days. And that's what Atlanta United's doing, and the final one is on the road. Mm-hmm. So this is a very tough week for them.
Maybe it's a good time to be playing good. Right.
Yeah.
If you can sort of bottle it and get it all in that 7-game stretch or 7-day stretch, maybe it will come out of that week feeling better about their position.
Who's going to be up and down as far as the rest period right now? Like,
I thought it was interesting. They subbed Almirone out of the game on Sunday. That's the first time they've taken him out all year.
Right.
That to me felt like, okay, we're up. Let's try to hold on and buy Miggy a little bit of rest because we're going to need him tomorrow and Saturday. Outside of that, Schleish and Click might interchange if they're really worried about how they're going to rotate and manage minutes. I don't think you're necessarily in the position where you want to take Watte Lott out of the group. the disciplinary committee make that decision for you later today. We'll find out. And for the record, I don't think Latte Lott should be suspended. I know the Cincinnati fans there are Cincinnati fans claiming that Latte Lott should face criminal charges for the incident with Nick Hagelin on Sunday. It's really unfortunate that Hagelin, the Cincinnati player, broke his ribs and had a collapsed lung. Mm-hmm. That's really unfortunate. Hate to hear that. But Latte Lott didn't foul him. It was checked by the VAR. That wasn't declared to be a foul. So just because someone got hurt seriously
doesn't mean
the disciplinary committee should just automatically, oh, we're going to suspend him.
Make that call then? Like, how was, if it wasn't a penalty, it wasn't all that.
There's this committee of, and I forget who exactly is on it, but it's a committee of like a league official. I think there's a team official, maybe a player on it. I don't know. A play could be referred to the disciplinary committee for review. Usually the disciplinary committee, all they do is fine people for not leaving the pitch in an orderly fashion after they get a red card. But there are occasions where a play could be submitted and they could look at it and issue a fine or a penalty for, say, simulation or embellishment or, you know, enhancing a red card and making it a multi-game suspension. Because there was no foul and no card shown to Latte Lott, I don't know how the disciplinary committee could intervene in this case. Again, the referee and the VAR and the AR all agreed no foul. But that is just something to keep an eye on today. If something were to happen there, then you're probably looking at TRA playing on Wednesday. And Kamen Togashi has been really, really good with the second team. He had a big game Sunday night against Orlando. So maybe to answer Randy's question, you see a little bit of rotation there. But I think, you know, Saba hasn't played a whole lot. He's been on the bench a lot lately. So you probably feel good with where he is right now. If you have to play him 180 more minutes the rest of this week,
right,
you'll figure it out on left wing. And that could be Jay Fortune. He's young. He can give you that. Matt Edwards can give you that. Your center backs, you don't really worry about, you know, their work rate. If there was going to be any kind of rotation, Randy, I think maybe click for Schleish in the midfield. And that would be probably about it right now.
Mike Conte joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking a little Atlanta United, coming out of their first win in a while. Hopefully can make it two in a row tomorrow. NBA playoffs, I think, have been really, really interesting. I think some unexpected stuff for sure.
Especially in the East.
Yeah, no doubt. I do wonder, just kind of from a big picture perspective, I know last week we talked a bit about how the four teams were constructed in getting to the conference finals. But we found out, and we knew it was going to happen, we found out after we talked last week that SGA is the MVP. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a seventh different champion in seven years this season. I just kind of wonder, I'm always interested to get your perspective on some of this bigger picture stuff. Like, as you watch these playoffs in the context of all of that change, like, how are you enjoying it, and what's sort of on your mind?
I love it. I think it's very interesting. I think, again, just being completely neutral, I don't have a rooting interest for or against any of these teams left. The theater of this Knicks-Pacers series has been absolutely fascinating with all the blown leads and all the drama of playing at Madison Square Garden and Indiana winning twice there, and then Indiana bottling an opportunity to basically end the series by blowing a 20-point lead on Sunday night. And then on top of it, you have just the beauty of Kevin Harlan. It's just so watchable. It's so enjoyable. The Western Conference nothing surprises me about the way that Western Conference final has unfolded. I thought OKC was the very heavy favorite going into that. But again, the thing I love about OKC, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a superstar. Outside of that, you've done such a good job as Sam Presti, their general manager, of drafting for need and finding a way for it to work from a chemistry standpoint. I look at the Thunder as a team. Boy, they like each other a lot.
Yes.
And they like playing together a lot. And that is important. And we've seen a lot of NBA teams over the years, talented NBA teams, implode because they don't like each other. That might be the intangible that puts Oklahoma City over the top. You know, one other thing that stands out to me, though, Andy, about just where the league has gone in general, SGA being the MVP, how many consecutive years is that now where the MVP of the NBA has not been an American?
Also seven.
Also.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. And Randy asked a good question last week. It was like, are those things, like seven straight years of a different champion,
yeah.
which we're coming out of an era where it was kind of dynasty after dynasty, yeah. and then seven straight years of a non-American MVP. Like, are those things related? I don't know if they're related, but I think they speak to how much the NBA is changing.
Yeah, well, and I'll take it a step further. It's going to be the seventh different champion in 7 years. I think it's also the 11th different finals company or 11th different team to make a finals in the last 7 years. We very rarely had repeat finalists. I think the Heat are the only repeat Eastern Conference finalists in that seven-year span. And in the West, maybe Golden State. Maybe, I was looking at that the other day because
– probably because they lost in 19 and then won in 22.
Yeah. So I think it's Miami and Golden State. And they've only been there twice each. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, one team went there five times. I think the talent pool right now is so heavy in the NBA. There are so many outstanding players in this league. The difference between maybe one generation ago to now, like let's go back one generation, about 20 years to where San Antonio was really dominating and it was starting to transition to Golden State. And prior to San Antonio really dominating, it was the Chicago Bulls. Okay. Well, the Bulls, it was Jordan and Pippen. San Antonio, it was Duncan and Robinson. And then, you know, Golden State, it was the Splash Brothers. All of them were American, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you fast forward one generation. The talent pool is so much larger now because internationally they've caught up to us.
Right.
Okay, and that's a good thing, by the way. It might not be fun to watch in the Olympics, you know, when you need Steph Curry to go off in the fourth quarter to beat France and win you a gold medal. That might not be fun.
I think that's way more fun to watch.
It's fun to watch.
A team by 40.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, but I want to dominate. You know, we're America. We should dominate at basketball, but I get it. You know, it's definitely made it for a more entertaining product. But I think as you have seen France, Greece, Argentina, Spain, Serbia catch up to us, that has at Canada. I mean, look at Team Canada in the Olympics. How did that team not medal? I mean, they had Shai Gilgeous and Dylan Brooks, and like they had a really, really nice team. How did they not medal? That has enhanced the talent pool. With more talent comes less of a need to have the big three. And again, OKC, I think, is the example that proves this. OKC, you know, they don't really have a superstar outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but their 2 through 12 all really, really solid, and they play well together.
Is it time for him to win one, though, Presti? Because, I mean, this is his second iteration of, like,
doing it a different way.
Yeah, we're doing it a different way this time.
And look, they were a little bit unlucky because when they peaked the first time, you had LeBron and the super team in Miami. That's a little bit unlucky. But now looking back on it, from a chemistry standpoint, it's almost remarkable that they were able to get to the finals with Westbrook, Harden, and Durant. Three ball-dominant players who don't share. And one of them, notoriously, a player who doesn't play well with anyone. It's almost remarkable that they got to the finals.
Then he demanded a trade, and they traded him for Kevin Martin, I think, or something like that.
Well, and Jeremy Lin.
Something like that. Yeah.
not Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, people forget, because that was a while ago, and he was the sixth man on that team and all of that.
That's right.
People forget that James Harden was on those early OKC teams with Durant and Westbrook.
If you look at those teams. You almost wonder, like, whoa, how did they not win a final? And they only went to one. Yep. They had Serge Ibaka. You're right, they had that peak Thabo Sefolosha.
They only had those guys in, like, their – because they happened fast with their primes. They only had those guys for one run. Because I think after that run, Harden wanted out, and they wouldn't want to pay him, so he went to Houston.
That's right.
Right. And then Durant and Westbrook had their run, and then they lost down or up 3-1 to Golden State, right?
That's right.
And then Durant went to Golden State, and then Westbrook was the last man standing.
Yeah.
It was weird. This definitely feels built different from, like, a personality standpoint.
Totally different. Yeah. And I really like watching them play together. I still think Indiana might end up winning this whole thing.
That'd be wild
if they did.
Give a lot of markets hope around this league if Indiana wins it all.
No doubt.
I don't see you.
No doubt.
Thunder, boy.
Thunder are tough.
We'll see you, though.
They're tough. Thank you, Mike.
Indiana on the road has been so good.
Thank you, Mike.
See you.